Good morning and welcome to Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church as it is this morning. Please join me in prayer with for Pastor Tim as he is with a friend that he led to the Lord and has not been given long to live. So we just pray for the Travis family as they're down ministering with that family in southern New Mexico. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that we can spend in fellowship in your word, Lord. We thank you that you've just provided us a written record of everything you need us to know and so many lessons that we can take and apply to our lives. Lord, we just pray for the Travis family that you would give them the right words this morning and yesterday and today as they minister to this family. Help them to be a blessing and give them safety and travel as they return. Lord, we pray for our church and just the various challenges we've been faced with, that you would help us to do the right thing and to just be patient and wait upon your timing for everything. Lord, just be with me this morning. Help me to have your words of wisdom this morning, not my own, but to teach what you would have me to teach. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we'll be talking about being purposed, but before we dive into that in Daniel, I want to read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, which means lovers of money in one sense and covetous for anything, but just desiring things that aren't yours, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Boy, we don't see that today, do we? Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, meaning that they're unloving, that they just want things and don't love what God has done and the things that are around them. There's no love. Truce breakers, unforgiving. Boy, we sure see that on the news each and every day of people that hold grudges and can't forgive things that have been done to them in the past. False accusers, incontinent, which means without self-control, just doing whatever feels good at the moment. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, headstrong, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So we see that in the last days, there will be all of these things, and we certainly are seeing that every day in America today. And what are we going to do about that? How are we going to live in a world where that's the priority and that's the prerogative? Well, turn with me, if you will, to Daniel chapter 1. And if you remember your history, we see that Daniel was taken into Babylon. He was taken into captivity, and he is with a bunch of other young men from other nations, set in the king's house. And we'll pick up in verse 5, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So here again we see this situation where Daniel is with these other young men, and he's given an opportunity to eat well, to drink well, to be with these other young men. He could have reflected on this and said, well, the king said it's this way, so it's this way, it's the law. He could have said, well, I could be punished if I don't do this, so why would I not do these things? He could have said it will ruin his career and all chance of advancement if he just doesn't get along and go along. Why take a stand? Why risk it? He's been given an opportunity here. When in Rome or Babylon, do as they do. Don't rock the boat or make waves. Just get along to go along. He was lucky to get this. Maybe some of his friends had been killed during the battle in Judah there, and didn't make it. And so he's pretty lucky to be in the king's house and have these foods. He's not out in the rock quarry having to chip rock all day or whatever else the other captives were doing. Man, this is a pretty good opportunity. He could have said, well, I'm too young. I'm just a teenager. What do I know? Maybe this is okay. And what my parents told me isn't really that important. He was far from home. No one would ever know. I'll just do it. No, nobody'll know. I mean, I got my three friends here, but who are they going to tell? There's no one else around. He could have reasoned, hey, I'm just one person. I'm just one young man. Why do the right thing? Why live for God? God had failed him anyway. Why serve a God that's allowing him to suffer? He's not with his family anymore. He's not with his friends anymore. He's not at home anymore. Man, this isn't right. But what was Daniel's reaction? Verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Purposed, to intend or resolve to perform or accomplish. Daniel purposed, he intended, he resolved to perform or accomplish that which was right, that what God had set before him. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 27, we read, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and preserve lips, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Here in Proverbs 4, 20 to 27, we see how we can live with purpose, how we can think before we act, how we can keep our eyes on the goal, which is Christ and what he has done for us, eternity. And we see that this is what Daniel did. He did. He kept the word of God before his eyes. He kept his eyes upon the goal. He kept his eyes, if you will, upon Christ and the things that mattered, eternity, serving God. Even though no one here on earth would have known the difference, he chose to do what was right, to look towards eternity, to look towards serving God, even when there was no one else around. And we see the outcome of that in verses 9 through 17 of Daniel chapter 1. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. He had a testimony. He was a kind-hearted person. He was someone who was doing the right things before this person, and he had a testimony with him, such that when he brought this up, he was willing to consider it. In verse 10, and the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse likening than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. This guy had a point. He's like, look, the king said to do it this way. The king said for you to eat this food, to drink this drink. I'm kind of concerned about my own head. And Daniel wasn't like, well, whatever, you know, you're just considering your own self. What about me? No, Daniel actually had a proposal for him. In verse 11, then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. Hey, give us 10 days. Let's do it God's way for 10 days. And if it's not working out, then you know what? We're going to eat what the king has commanded. But if it does work out, hey, you're not going to be any worse off for 10 days. We'll be able to recover from this before the king sees us. Here's a plan to go forward. In verse 15, and at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine which they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams because of his desire, his purpose in his heart to obey God. God blessed him and allowed him to have a very long career in three different kingdoms, three different courts here as basically a prime minister over time, making these decisions because of his godly character, which he purposed in his heart. Daniel's response, when asked by authority to do something wrong, he formed convictions in his heart. He knew what he stood for. He knew what was right before God. He understood the word of God and his commands. And he politely and respectfully appealed to his authority. Daniel manifested maturity and a good testimony before his authority. He wouldn't have been able to do this if he was just somebody that was always whining and complaining or doing wrong, but he had that testimony to where Melzar was able to take him seriously and say, you know what, we'll give this a try because you've been respectful, because you've asked in a good way. What's our testimony today? Are we desiring to do the right thing? I know as a church, speaking with Pastor Tim, there's a desire to want to just do it our way. And yet God has put some hurdles before us as a church where we have to wait upon God, where we have to wait and see God's plan. We have to see how God will show himself to us as a church and grow us. As we continue looking here at the history of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah in Daniel chapter 3, you'll all remember most likely the story of the burning furnace and the image that Nebuchadnezzar had built. And he wrote a law because he got puffed up by his advisors to say, hey, let's have everybody bow down and worship you. And so this had happened. He brought everybody together. We can only assume that Daniel was somewhere else doing government business at the time, or he would have been standing with his three friends at this time. But they played the music, and these three young men, we're not sure exactly how much older they might have been at this time, but a little time had passed, and they don't go down. And so in Daniel chapter 3, we see them given a second chance in verse 15. Now if ye be ready, that at the time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their Babylonian names, answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I want you to consider here for a minute that phrase, we are not careful to answer thee. That means they had been purposed. They didn't just flippantly go along with Daniel back in the day. They purposed with him to follow God and to do what was right. If they had to make this decision in the moment, I mean, there was the decision of the moment, but they knew that they were not going to bow the knee before an idol. They chose that they would only bow before God, the living God. And so they had this mindset. They knew what their answer was. They didn't have to consider it. They were ready. They knew what the answer would be. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter, verse 16 and then 17. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Here again, we see some great wisdom, some great principles we can take for our lives each day that we live. They knew that God had the power to preserve them, the power to deliver them. But their faith was so strong that they said, we know he can, but if he doesn't, we're okay too. We're still not going to bow the knee. We're still going to worship our God because we know he has a plan. We know he is in control. We trust the God of Abraham, of Isaac. We trust our Creator. Friend, do you trust God this morning? Do you trust him for your salvation? Have you been saved? Have you given your life over to him? And if so, are you trusting him each and every day for everything that you need? And knowing that whether you get it your way or not, that God has a plan, that God has a purpose that he is fulfilling in your life and my life. Are we living purpose before God like we see here in Daniel and his three friends? So what happened, if you'll remember, that Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. He stoked the fire so hot that the men stoking the fire died. That's pretty hot when you can't even throw a log on without losing your own life. I mean, I've been around some hot fires in my time, but never such that my life was threatened. I can't imagine a fire that hot. And so he throws them in, and the men that throw him in die. And yet, as Nebuchadnezzar is standing, I'm sure a ways back so that he doesn't die, he looks in there and he sees something that was astonishing to him. Let's start again in verse 22 of Daniel chapter 3. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, the flames and the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three bound men into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. You know, they're not going to disagree with him at this point because they don't want to get thrown in there themselves. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loosed walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Just pause there for a minute. Have you ever been around a campfire? We've done a little bit as a family, and you just always get that smell in your clothing. You're not being burned. You're not being in the fire as these three were, but you can't help but smell of smoke and of the campfire experience. And these men were so protected by God that not even their clothes were smelling of smoke. They were so protected of God that not even the hair on their body had been singed. Not a hair, it tells us. That is a miracle. That is Christ being in the fire with them. And Christ is in the fire with us today. No matter what we might face, Christ is there with us as well. Verse 28 then of Daniel 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. What a testimony this was to Nebuchadnezzar, who had his heart changed, because of three men who purposed in their heart and said, we're not going to bow the knee. We're not scared of any fire that you can throw us into. We may die in this life. That's okay. But we're not going to serve false gods. We're going to serve the living God, the King of Kings. Verse 29, Nebuchadnezzar goes on and says, therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Friends, three young men, started with Daniel, who purposed in his heart, and his three friends said, you know what, that's right, we're going to go with that. We're going to do that. And then later they face the fiery furnace, and three young men, because of that testimony, change the heart of a king who then allows the word of God to be proclaimed throughout really the known world at that time, as the message of who this God is goes forth, that no other God can do this, for there is no other God, number one. But he saw their deliverance. He believed. Perhaps he was even saved because of this. But it gave an opportunity for the word of God to spread throughout the kingdom, throughout the known world at that time because of this decree. And not only that, but we see in verse 30 that then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. God blessed them for their faith in him. Nebuchadnezzar asked what God could possibly save them. And again, the Jews calmly replied, "If it be so, our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve the gods nor worship the golden image." Folks, they did it respectfully. They weren't ranting. They weren't raving. They just calmly stood there and said, "You know what? You can think what you want, O king, but this is what we believe. Let it be as God wants." They completely trusted God no matter the outcome. They answered with purpose. Are we willing to trust God today with whatever is before us, no matter the outcome, what the outcome might be? Friend, I certainly hope so. What about Daniel? We see in Daniel chapter 6 that he's faced with a challenge of, I'm sure most of you have heard of Daniel and the lion's den, and the lions that came before him, and the challenge he faced there. And there was, again, a law that was written because these men were jealous of Daniel, jealous of the wisdom he had and how he was serving God and how God was blessing him. And so a law was written that if anyone would pray to anyone but the king, that they would be thrown into the lion's den. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, I want to just briefly touch on this. We see, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before." He knew. He made a purposeful decision after the law was put in place to continue his practice of worshiping God, of doing the right thing with his windows open. He could have shut the curtains. He could have put the shutters up. He could have gotten hid somewhere and said, "Well, I'm still going to pray 3 times a day, but I'm going to make sure no one sees me." No, he knew it was right. He knew what his testimony was to be. And the men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplications before his God in verse 11, and they threw him ultimately into the lion's den, Daniel's lion's den. And God took care of him. He didn't have to. He could have allowed Daniel to be consumed, but God preserved Daniel so that again the king would see who he was, who God was, and be able to have that ministry. But it started with Daniel purposing in his heart to do the right thing. He knew the law was signed, and yet he still was willing to do what is right. A few quotes to share with you this morning. "When you fully comprehend that there is more to life than just here and now, and you realize the life is just preparation for eternity, you will begin to live differently. You will start living in light of eternity. And that will color how you handle every relationship, task, and circumstance. Suddenly, many activities, goals, and even problems that seem so important will appear trivial, petty, and unworthy of your attention. The closer you live to God, the smaller everything else appears." You know, those lions probably appeared pretty big at the time, but Daniel was living in light of eternity. He had his focus upon God and doing what was right, no matter the cost, and he was preparing for eternity. I can't imagine the responsibility that God has given Daniel for eternity because of his testimony here on earth, and that's why we're reading about him all these years later, because of the testimony, the purposing that Daniel had. What an example. Did you know that Daniel is one of the few characters in the Bible of which nothing negative is written? Because as a young man, Daniel purposed in his heart to do what is right, to follow God. Helen Keller is said to have said, "Many people have a wrong idea of what constitutes true happiness. It is not attained through self-gratification, but through fidelity to a worthy purpose." Are we going to serve God, or are we going to serve our desires, which are but temporary? Worry ducks when purpose flies overhead. You know, if we want to get past worry, if we want to get past concern, if we want to be a leader, we need to have purpose, and worry will just get out of the way as we have purpose and we head towards that. If you're still struggling with purpose, how about this? Live as though Christ died yesterday, rose from the grave today, and is coming back tomorrow. We don't know when Christ will come for us. We don't know how long we have on this earth. But what if we, as Christians today, purpose to live each day as if it might be our last, and this might be our last opportunity to tell somebody about the love of Jesus Christ? It might be our last opportunity to ask forgiveness, to forgive someone. It is impossible to do everything people want you to do. You have just enough time in your life to do God's will. If you can't get it all done, everything you're trying to do each and every day, it means you're trying to do more than God intended you to do. Or possibly you're watching too much television. Since we moved to our new home, we haven't had a TV that we can watch after the kids go to bed, so that's taken that excuse away, but it's still a challenge each and every day to make sure that we're doing what God wants us to be focused on and not extra things in our life. It's easy to be busy, but are we busy with the right things? And that's a challenge. I haven't figured that one out myself. If you want your life to have impact, focus it. Stop dabbling. Stop trying to do it all. Do less. Prune away even good activities and do only that which matters most. Never confuse activity with productivity. You can be busy without a purpose, but what's the point? We need to make sure the things that we're doing in our lives have purpose, have meaning, are preparing us for eternity, ultimately. John 3:14 through 17, hopefully a very familiar passage to you. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Christ didn't just happen to go to the cross. It wasn't an accident. He wasn't swept up in the events. Christ went there on purpose to save you and I, to die for our sins on the cross as only he could. He did it on purpose. A few chapters later in John chapter 19, verses 25 to 30, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and then filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. At the very end of Christ's life here on earth, before his resurrection, hanging upon the very cross of Calvary, having been beaten, having been scourged, having carried his cross as far as he was physically able, being hung upon a cross and dying, he still had purpose in his life. He still sought care for his earthly mother. He still remembered the scriptures that needed to be fulfilled and made sure that everything for God was done and accomplished. And then he died. Talk about the ultimate purpose of going to the cross for our sins and making sure the gospels were fulfilled, the prophecies were fulfilled there. Living the purposed life. We need to set priorities of the heart. Matthew 6:33 reminds us, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Put the world in perspective. Remember that we are only temporarily here, preparing for eternity with God. when asked to do something wrong, maintain respect for the person in authority and respectfully appeal to do the right thing. Remember again how Daniel was able to do the right thing because he had that testimony. Let's make sure we have a testimony with our friends, our neighbors, our family members even. Sometimes that's the hardest area. When asked to do something wrong, maintain respect for that person in authority. This is only possible, again, if we've maintained that testimony. Give God time to work out the details. Daniel gave Belshazzar 10 days as a trial to say, hey, let's try it God's way. And if in 10 days it's not going the way I think it will from what God has taught us, then we'll be okay and we'll do it this other way. You know, right now at Faithway, it's a challenge for us as we wait for the city to give us permission to meet in the building we're renting. But we have to wait. We have to do it God's way. That's not easy. That's not what the flesh wants. But we got to give God time to work so that we have a testimony in the city of Edgewood and perhaps can win some folks to Christ because we have been willing to do it their way, even if it wasn't necessarily right or perceived that way by us. Give God time to work out the details. Am I living a purposed life for God? It starts with purposefully getting saved. Friend, if you're not saved this morning, that's the first decision you need to make, is to purposefully get saved, to receive that gift of salvation, a decision that will change all eternity for you. But it doesn't end there. God has so much in store for us if we will but live purposefully, purposed to intend or resolve to perform or accomplish. What do you intend or resolve to perform or accomplish this week? Make sure it's of eternal worth. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this example that we see in Daniel of a man who was willing to live for you, and what a testimony and influence he had in the Babylonian Empire. Lord, as you blessed him with long life and great wisdom and just a strong desire, a purpose to live for you, no matter the outcome and the trials he faced, Lord, I pray that each of us would have that courage, have that faith, have that trust in you to live purpose today, that we would live in light of eternal things. Lord, if there's any that hear this message that aren't saved, Lord, I just pray that you would save them, that you would allow their hearts to be purposed toward you, that they would purposefully choose the gift of salvation and have their eternity changed. For those of us that are saved, Lord, help us this week as we purpose to live for you, to set things before us that are of eternal worth, to make decisions that ensure that we maintain our testimony with our friends, with our family, with those around us that are watching us. Lord, I pray for Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church this morning and just that we would have that testimony, that we would live in light of the things that are eternal, because that's what we're here for, is to see souls saved. Go with us now and just bless us and keep us till we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.